Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use the promo code THEGAME. Joining us now is David Haw from 670 The Score in Chicago. First of all, David, please send our best to our very own Ryan Porth.
I will do that. He's very busy right now rooting for the Cincinnati Reds, and he comes to work in uniform some days. It's very embarrassing, but I will send along your best.
Is he wearing, like, full stirrups, or, you know, does he wear the pants low? Does he go high socks? How does he come in full uniform?
The low stirrups, yeah, and the Eric Davis jersey, and it's just a little much. But you know what? We tolerate him because he does a pretty good job. He's a hard worker.
Well, appreciate you for joining us, David, and appreciate you for holding down the fort for Ryan Porth over there for us in Chicago. But I wanted to kind of get your thoughts and break down your most recent column on 670thescore.com. What's going on at Northwestern? I mean, it starts with Pat Fitzgerald in the football program, and then we see last night that Jim Foster, Northwestern head baseball coach, gets fired for alleged reports of bullying and hazing and potential sexual abuse. What in the world is going on at Northwestern?
Well, we are here on a Friday that concludes the worst week in the history of Northwestern sports. And that sounds like an exaggeration, but it really isn't. And having gone through it now, beginning on Monday night, which was a culmination of a football investigation into some real disturbing hazing allegations that were confirmed by 11 current or former players. Pat Fitzgerald fired on Monday. The baseball scandal, which involved bullying and some very abusive behavior by Jim Foster, the baseball coach, that broke yesterday. That story was broken on The Score on Monday. And so what we have is institutional incompetence. It begins with, number one, the president of the university, Michael Schill, who looked at the report, and that was the result of a five-month-long investigation last Friday, and gave Pat Fitzgerald a two-week suspension. The Daily Northwestern printed a story on Saturday full of explosive allegations detailing the disturbing nature of the hazing allegations. The president backtracked, announced he would reconsider the penalty, and on Monday he fired Pat Fitzgerald. So two coaches fired. One lawsuit threatened by Pat Fitzgerald, who retained counsel, one of the highest-powered attorneys in Chicago, and a president that buckled the public pressure, and an athletic director who informed the football team of the move to fire Pat Fitzgerald via Zoom from his vacation abroad.
Oh.
So you have basically a week that you would love to forget if you're a Northwestern fan or member of the community, but you'll never, never be able to outlive.
Absolutely brutal for Northwestern this past week. And I wanted to get your thoughts on how Michael Schill handled Pat Fitzgerald. So it initially came out that he was suspended for 2 weeks, and then after the court of public opinion made their opinion known, he was then fired. Is that justified?
Yeah, I think all you look for is number one, consistency from a leadership position. And had Michael Schill come out on Friday and announced a suspension or even fired him I think there would have been a lot more confidence or respect for the decision. When he looked at the same bit of information and he concluded on Friday that it was a two-week suspension, and then he reevaluated it based on the reaction to a story online by the student newspaper, I think he undercut his any confidence in him. And it was easy to question, you know, the integrity of the decision. So that doesn't mean that it was the wrong decision. Actually, I think that you can make the argument, as I have all week on 670 The Score, that if you're a coach like Pat Fitzgerald, if you didn't know, you probably should have been in a position to know what was going on in your locker room. But Michael Shill's backtracking publicly has not helped the situation at all.
David, the Chicago market is such an enormous market. You got the Cubs, you got the White Sox going on, you've got the big off seasons happening in football and hockey and all that. I'm just curious, on your show, how much has this story dominated, or has it?
It definitely has this week, but I think a couple of factors contribute to that. Number one, I don't want to misrepresent what we do. I mean, you're right. The Chicago market is pro sports dominant, and we don't really pay that close attention to Northwestern unless they're really, really good or maybe really, really bad. And I love college football more than anything, but I think that I also understand the dynamics in play here. That said, what happened this week was a confluence of bad factors for Northwestern people, because there was no Major League Baseball. It was the All-Star break. The news cycle was dominant, and it kept on churning out more Northwestern news. There was the firing, the retaining of counsel, the baseball scandal, the firing of the baseball coach, the threatened lawsuit on behalf of the parents. So it has never really stopped since really a week ago, and we have dealt with it as it has trickled out, and there hasn't been a lot to talk about in either. You know, Bears are 2 weeks away from training camp. Neither the White Sox or Cubs have played all week long, and the hockey draft is well over. So not a lot of Connor Bedard's mentioned this week, but it's been all Northwestern all the time.
Yeah, so that is an interesting, the timing of it. I have thought about that, because it's a slower week, especially from the national perspective. If this were during the NFL season or, you know, some other time where there were several big news stories, maybe it wouldn't get quite the attention. But I'm curious about this part of it too, David, from your perspective. Pat Fitzgerald had been there for so long. I was curious, on your show, did he get a lot of defenders saying, hey, hold on a second, this guy deserves a little bit more benefit of the doubt? Because when you read the story and you read the allegations, it is really horrifying, right? You really do a double take. But on the other hand, this guy's been there for so long, and he's been the fabric of what's been successful for Northwestern.
Yeah, I've said all week that Pat Fitzgerald wasn't the symbol of Northwestern football. Pat Fitzgerald was Northwestern football. So there's no question that over 17 years, he had a tremendously loyal following, not just his players, but his fan base. That said, I think that you accurately described the details by calling them horrifying. And I think that they were so hard to conceive for people, like, what in the world is going on with the descriptions of, you know, naked sexual hazing that is just gone across so many lines that this wasn't, it was easy to understand once you looked at it from that context and through that prism that this wasn't a university firing a coach because he couldn't manage a clock or because he lost more games than he won and he deserved the benefit of the doubt. This was a university taking a stand against type hazing that should never exist in any locker room at any level. And when you see the nature of the allegations and you realize that, you know, there are some people that are arguing correctly that this falls under the category of criminal behavior, then I think that you can't make an argument, or it's more difficult to understand an argument that he deserved to keep his job. I don't think that had much ground to stand on.
David, one of the things that we talk about down here sometimes is, especially when Northwestern was winning pretty consistently in the Big Ten? I know maybe at some point people maybe get hungry. Well, you know, why can't they win 9 or 10 games as opposed to 7, 8 the way they were doing? But they were solid for a good while. And down here, you know, people from the Vanderbilt perspective would look at Northwestern and say, you know, that's a pretty good benchmark there. What do they need to do to get up to where Northwestern is? Now I'm curious your thoughts, David, going forward, how they try to overcome this where they already had slipped a little bit. They're on a down cycle, and now this happens. The fear, I'm sure, that this is going to set them back for a good while.
There's no doubt about it. And that's, you know, when you take a look at what is ahead for Northwestern football, you know, they're heading into this season with an interim head coach who came to the program from North Dakota State and has never coached on a staff that is a Power 5 staff. You look at the number of decommitments that have already been announced. It's up to 4 and counting this week with the recruiting class. And you look at the stain that this will leave on Pat Fitzgerald's legacy. I think it is difficult to envision this being a quick fix. I think, you know, we can talk all you want about the names of guys like Paul Christ and David Shaw and Jason Candle and who might be interested in this job at the end of the season when it's a full-time, long-time, permanent search resuming or beginning. But I just don't know what the future holds, because I don't know who's going to be making that hire. And I don't know who's going to be making that hire of the guy who makes the hire. I think that you're right now at the end of this week, where the body count, if you will, or the number of coaches who have lost their jobs or people have lost their jobs is at 2. But I don't think it's going to stop at 2. This has got to be a full accounting of what happened. The Board of Trustees has to intervene and ask some difficult questions. And it's not only the worst week in Northwestern sports history, but it's one of the more uncomfortable periods, and that's not going to end anytime soon.
David Hall, 670 The Score in Chicago, is with us, and I'm with you. I think that this is going to be detrimental to the Northwestern football program, but could this even be a permanent stain on the athletic department as a whole?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. Unfortunately, this is something difficult to outgrow and overcome, and you ask some questions about how it got to this point and you know the cultural dynamics in play when you're talking about I don't think there'd be coaches at college football programs for 17 years, and again, because of the way that, you know, that may have contributed to some of these things being either allowed or these things festering. It's difficult, and it's complicated by the fact that as we've kind of talked about, and you guys understand this, I mean, Pat Fitzgerald was as popular of a figure as we had in the Chicago sports scene. We're a passionate sports market, and Fitz was a guy that played to that. He went to high school here. He was one of the most decorated players at Northwestern, and he was the most successful coach ever. And he leaned into that persona, and he loved every part of that. And that passion was something that everybody identified with. Full disclosure, I mean, he was a friend of mine. And it's been very awkward to do the right thing, but when you have to do the right thing and your job is to have an opinion, this one was rather easy in that regard, because it's intolerable behavior from a football program that has to have a higher standard and has to have zero tolerance. So I do think that it's going to be a long time before Northwestern football can be proud of itself again.
Absolutely. It's difficult. And also, Northwestern announced that in the light of all of this, of the hazing scandal, that they're going to put a halt to the Ryan Field rebuild. Do you agree with that decision?
Well, I think that that's the hope. The six tenured member out to the president. And I'll say this. I don't think you need to scrap the plans entirely. I don't think that saying let's not do anything that signifies progress. You're in the Big Ten, USC and UCLA coming to the conference. You benefit greatly from the Big Ten network. But I think what would be in everybody's best interest, and I've been consistent with this all week, is that, you know what, this should cause everybody on campus, from the president to the team manager to the medical staff to everyone in between, take a step back, take a deep breath, reassess where you are and who you are, as a university, and how athletics fits into your profile and how big you want that footprint to be. Because it's an $800 million project that they're trying to renovate Ryan Field. It comes on the heels of a $260 million facility on the lakefront that's one of the best in the country. That's $1 billion invested in football. And frankly, everybody in Chicago knows that's $1 billion invested in Pat Fitzgerald. He's not here anymore. What do you do now? I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to take a pause, look around, and get some new opinions and some fresh eyes and say, what are we doing and who do we want to be?
What are we doing could mean Ed Orgeron. Heard he had some interest in the Northwestern football program, so Godspeed with that.
Well, Ryan said you had a sense of humor, and I know that's a joke. Because there's no way he would fit at Northwestern University. Sorry, he is a funny guy. He may have a national championship, but I would never be able to see that one.
No, we're thinking Crocodile Dundee. kind of.
As an LSU fan, don't touch him with a 10-foot pole. David Haas, 670 The Score in Chicago. Appreciate you for joining us. Appreciate your insight. Have a good one, and send our best to Ryan Porth.
We'll do that. Ryan's doing a great job up here, and hope you guys have a great weekend. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, you too. Didn't doubt for a second that Ryan Porth is absolutely crushing it up there in Chicago. We'll react to what David Haas had to say coming up next. Plus, I have a thought on that of how far does the Northwestern effect trickle into maybe closer to our neck of the woods? And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.